This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. It's week 16 of 2020. This is Brightside Home Theater. I'm DJ, and this is the podcast where we talk about what we do in our theater. This week, I'm going to focus on Cliffhanger in 4K. I'll get to that in a little bit, but just wanted to touch on some stuff that I've been watching in my theater this week. So where to start? Let's start with Netflix. I've been watching Castlevania on Netflix. John, my co-host at Brightside Chat, recommended it to me. And the show's really good. But for home theater purposes, I find it really interesting because this show is very dialogue heavy. There's not a ton of action. It's a vampire story, Dracula story. A lot of adult themes, stuff like that. But for the home theater part, there's a ton of localized sound around the room. A lot of people talking in different channels. A lot of great ambient sound going on around the rooms. A lot of subtle stuff that, like I said, with not a lot of action, you're interested in the story anyways. It's adult themes, but it's a relaxing sit down and, you know, you have to pay attention. But the way the sound moves around the room is a lot of fun, and it keeps you engaged. There's times when stuff pops up in the rear channels on either side of you. Somebody's looking for something, and a character will speak from a distance in a rear channel on either side of you. A lot of good sweeps from front to back, side to side. It's for a show that doesn't have a lot of action. It offers a lot of great localized sound. So I'm really enjoying that one. I was able to get in Underworld Rise of the Lycans, which is the third installment. And again, like the other ones, the almost monochromatic look, the contrast, the way they shot these movies, it looks really, really good. And the sound and bass in these movies is really good. I think next week I might even just focus on Underworld Awakening, which is, I have the 3D copy, which came in last week. You know, Kate Beckinsale's return. She was off for the third movie because it was a flashback prequel type. But that should be fun to do in 3D. I also watched Blade from 1998. I have the 3-disc set of that. It's only 1080p, but the soundtrack on that is really good. Even in 1080p, it is very dated. If you've heard my other podcast where John and I break it down, we laughed and laughed at how bad some of the scenes look. This movie does not need a 4K restoration because it would just look even worse. But I really enjoyed the movie anyways. It has a lot of engaging sound effects. It has a lot of good bass, a lot of real corny one-liners and superhero poses. But as far as home theaters go, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So the last couple things I'll talk about before we get to Cliffhanger is Star Wars related, of course. So I've been watching Star Wars Rebels. Never seen it before, so I'm working my way through those seasons. They look great. They sound great. They're on Disney Plus, and it has decent sound. I mean, it's not bad. I'd say it's like Castlevania with more action. And the only reason I'm bringing up Rebels now is because this morning I watched the latest episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, Season 7, Episode 9, Phantom Apprentice. And that's Episode 10. Last week I watched Episode 9, and it's Old Friends Not Forgotten. And these two episodes look and sound cinematic. Today's episode, episode 10, Phantom Apprentice, like I was saying, this takes it to another level. The, quote, cinematography, the way they shot these scenes. Now, I know it's all digital. I'm using that in quotation fingers. It looks so good on a big screen. It looks so good in a theater setting. I said on my morning podcast that I would like to see this episode in a theater, in a real theater. It looked that good. The sound in it was very engaged. I felt like I was in a movie theater. It was that good. Even though it's animated, I was still sucked in. One of the highlights of the week, it was that good for home theater viewing. If you're not taking part in the Clone Wars, you probably wouldn't understand it. You probably wouldn't get sucked in because the story helps too. But as far as home theater viewing goes, for animation, this is some of the best. These last two episodes, but episode 10 in particular was just really, really good. So that was pretty much my week. So now let's get to Cliffhanger. So this movie I bought a while ago. It's been sitting on my shelf for a long time. I loved this movie when it came out. I'm going to go spoiler free. This movie was from 1993. I'm going to go spoiler free for a little bit. Then I'll get into spoilers. Because honestly, I'm not sure if there are some younger listeners that maybe, and you could be almost 30 years old and never seen this movie. So I highly recommend the movie. It's not Gone with the Wind by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a great action flick. It's got all of that. And as far as home theater, I had this on Laserdisc. I loved it then. I had it on Blu-ray. I loved it then. The 4K. I love it even more. I read the book, and I'll get to that in one of the spoilers. But after this movie came out, I actually sought out the book, which is based on the movie. It wasn't a book first, as far as I know. But anyways, I got an email back in March, March 22nd, from John M., and he listed a whole bunch of movies that had great immersive sound. And one of the movies he mentioned was Cliffhanger. And I'll give you a couple of quotes from the email. John says, "I would put Cliffhanger 4K up against any other immersive mix. The entire movie is stacked with overhead effects." He also says, "Cliffhanger blows away any Star Wars or Marvel soundtrack out of the water." Which is pretty high praise, because those movies have some pretty good soundtracks. And I haven't seen this movie in a while. And like I said, it's been sitting on my shelf. And so when I read that in his email, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to see that one, especially with the Atmos mix. And I got to tell you, it was worth the wait. It was awesome. John's right. The immersive soundtrack is unreal. It is unreal because it takes place in the mountains. And I have some scenes where I'll reference that. But, you know, if you've been hiking or mountain climbing, I haven't been mountain climbing per se the way Sylvester Stallone did in this movie, but I've done plenty of mountain climbing, you know, like hiking, and it's quiet. It is so quiet. And what they did in this movie to suck you in with the score and the ambient sounds and the mix of the two, and using quiet scenes and then heightening the fear, heightening the emotion just by bringing the score up and bringing it down. And it was just, what a ride. And if you actually stop and think about it while you're watching the movie, in real life, if you were on any of these mountaintops, it is dead quiet. But what they brought to this movie and the way they shot the movie as well, and seeing it on a big screen like this in the 4K picture is beautiful. There's so many big sweeping scenes of mountaintops that they say in the extras that, you know, this movie takes place in the Colorado Rockies. So, of course, they flew to Italy to film it in the Italian Alps. And what the director, Rennie Harlan, did, the way he shot it, and not just the scenery, the way he shot the scenery is beautiful, but the way he shot each scene, and it gets into it in the extras on how he created the depth that you really can't create in a photograph. And he was trying to portray how far down distances were and how vast these abysses are. It just creates such a dynamic picture. And when I say picture, I mean like movie, that you're engaged the entire time. there were moments I felt like I was holding my breath because you're scared. And there's one scene that I'll talk about when we get to spoilers that I was actually ducking. But there's something about Stallone movies that he just, I don't know if it's him in particular or he just attaches himself to people that love home theater, because all of his movies that get this, you know, restoration, they just look and sound so good and they're so much fun in the theater. I would love to see, well, all of his movies with the exception of Judge Dredd, but one in particular, Daylight, if that could come out on 4K, that movie right there, I think would be a blast in a theater because it has that huge claustrophobic feel of being in a tunnel and the echoes that they could, the sound that they could utilize in that, that would really play well in a theater in an enclosed environment. And that's one of the things I think is amazing about Cliffhanger is that it's not an enclosed environment. Most of this movie is taking place on the top of a mountain and you get that vast feeling, even with the sound, while you're in this enclosed area. It's just a lot of fun. I highly, highly recommend this movie. Audio quality reference from beginning to end, And with that, we got some popcorn playing. Let's get into some spoilers because this movie was so much fun. And I'm kind of like bursting to talk about it. So the opening scene to the movie, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm saying where like Stallone attaches himself to people that love home theater. This opening scene starts out the screen, you know, you get your introduction panels of, you know, Kuroko and, you know, whatever, all of that. And then it comes into it, the screen's just black. So you're sitting in your theater and it's just dark and all of a sudden you just hear a helicopter over your left shoulder at the back of the room and it pans from left to right behind you in the dark. And then it starts to make its way towards the front of the room down the right side from the rear. And now the screen comes up and you see the helicopter fly by. That to me is only shot. It's only done that way for home theater fans. Because when this movie came out in 1993, you're sitting there in a theater. It doesn't play to everybody. People are like, oh, that was fun. That was neat. But the intimate environment of our home theaters and having that play around you is just, that's the type of thing that I think is just for home theater fans. There aren't a lot of us. There aren't a lot of home theater fans, but this stuff here, it's clearly an art that these people that are making these movies, they're as passionate about home theater as we are. So it's great that we have that. That's what we're looking for. And like I said, just this opening scene kind of sets that stage. Like this is going to be fun because for them to include something like this and not just your standard, you know, helicopter whirring around and, the way it was presented was just very encouraging for the rest of the movie. And believe me, it pays off. So we all know where that helicopter is coming from. This opening scene is when Michael Rooker's character, Hal, takes his girlfriend up the mountain and gets stuck there. And his girlfriend, Sarah, played by Michelle Joyner, who, you know, unfortunately wasn't in this movie very long, but what an opening scene. I remember seeing this in the theater. I remember being shocked. They knew what they were doing. If you listen to the extras, they knew how they were shooting this scene. They knew this is a Sylvester Stallone movie and Sylvester always saves the girl. And they open this movie and he doesn't save the girl. The girl falls to her death. And the way they built this scene, first off, they're building the scene that you're thinking he's going to save her, but she's sliding out onto the cable and he's yelling to her, you're doing great. And the quietness of the mountains and they're kind of in between. So there's echoes and you can hear him. You can hear the echoes in your room of him yelling encouragement to her and how good she's doing. And that's kind of like setting the tone for how quiet it really is. But then as the tension is building, the score is building. And then this is one of my reference scenes from the 9 minute mark to about the 11 minute mark. I think a little after 11 minutes is when she drops, but it's about the 9 minute mark. The way they built the score and her screaming for help, the fast-paced action, you're just sucked right in. It was so intense. The sound is filling the room. She's clinging for her life. I've seen this movie, I don't know how many times. I still was on the edge of my seat. I'm still kind of hoping maybe he'd save her. Like I said, top of a mountain's really quiet, but this scene works so well, so awesome. And then when she finally slips through his fingers and starts to drop, the room goes silent. And it's, you have that scare, and then they throw some sound in of her falling, and then it goes silent when they look on him. It's the intensity of this scene is just played so well, and the sound, the way it filled the room is just unreal. Now, the spoiler that I had from reading the book is when you don't have sound to deal with when you're writing a book, so how do you set the tension? They tell you how long, as he's going out there, he's thinking, I gotta save her. If she falls, it's gonna take her, basically setting the tension of everything that's going to happen to her. And then when she eventually falls, he obviously has to make his way back, and you're inside Gabe's head. That's Stallone's character, Gabe Walker. You're inside his head, and he's thinking, I'm not even back yet. She hasn't hit the ground yet, because it takes her, it's almost 30 seconds. You're free falling for 30 seconds before you hit the ground. It was a 4,000 foot fall. Just the idea of that, and count out 30 seconds and you're going to fall that far. It was amazing and scary. And then watching the movie again, you're seeing it, and it's very, very intense scene, very well shot, and at the time, never had been done. I don't know of another movie that had such an intense scene to start a movie out. Then from there, we go to, I believe it's like a treasury office, but it's a great office scene, which sounds weird because you went from the top of a mountain into an office, and the way they shot it and the sounds that they used in there, you felt like you were in an office, which is kind of mundane, but that's what I believe they were going for from that action sequence that you just had, and how dynamic the sound and picture and everything, the way they shot it, how great it was. And then you're in this mundane setting. It just really worked. And then you go from that, from the pristine setting of an office, you go back out to the mountains, and now it's like 8 months later, I believe, and Gabe is coming back, and you have the ambient sounds all around you of like waterfall, like he's talking to Jesse, Janine Turner's character. You can hear the rumbling off in the distance of the thunder, and it's on one side of the room because that's where it is, and you can hear the water running from the rivers around them. It's just tons and tons of ambient sound throughout this that just sounded so, so good. Then the next scene of note would probably be chapter 5. It's that whole setting where they're trying to get the money from one plane to the next. It's a really good action sequence. It's got some good surround sound, but what I thought was really cool was that 2720 is the plane exploding in the air. It was probably the first time in the movie that it was a really, really good bass. And you're like, ooh, they used some good bass in this movie. Really good LFE extension. And then after that, you go to 2910 and you have the crash landing of Quaylen, John Lithgow, and his group crashing into the top of a mountain, or kind of crash landing, I should say. That had some great, long, extended bass with crashing noises all around you as they ripped through snowbanks and trees and blah, 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 everything flying all around the room, going down the sides of your room as you're like in this plane with them going, you know, skidding to a stop. And after all of that and all of that noise, they jump right to the scene where the kids are skydiving, and it's quiet and pristine. So they brought you really high and then for sound, and then brought you right back down, and they keep taking you on that ride all the way through, much like going through the mountains, up and down, up and down. From there, we'll jump ahead a bit to 45:30, and it's Gabe's escape. So this is the scene where Stallone has to climb up the side of the mountain, and they took his jacket from him, so he's just in a t-shirt, and he climbs up the side of the mountain, but he's tied to them, and then he tries to double-cross them, and he throws the money off the edge, and they start shooting at him. You know that that an avalanche is coming because they had prefaced it when they first got there and they said, oh, be careful of that up there. They start launching, you know, rocket launchers at him, grenade launchers, I should say, from their guns. And the noises from that and the sounds that as they launch past Stallone and they hit above him at the snow, I honestly want to say I thought they did a great, great job at that because a lot of times they'll throw in an explosion that doesn't sound or it sounds great. It's like a huge, giant explosion of a grenade going off. But they actually, I think, nailed the sound. Not that I've ever launched a grenade into a snowbank, but that's what it sounded like. It was a really nice deep bass, but subtle, like a muffled deep bass that you could tell was like they were launching these things and they're exploding inside the snowbank at the top of the mountain. And all the while you have the gunfire going off and you have the score playing because, you know, he's trying to escape and it's a very dramatic scene with lots of action. But that bass going off above you, it was really, really cool because of how subtle it was. Now, this next scene is probably one of my favorite of the movie, and it's because of the sound and because of the Atmos. It's at 49 minutes and 30 seconds, and it's when Jesse is being lowered by Frank, being lowered from the helicopter down to the ground. And this scene here, it's not a huge action scene by any stretch. It's just her being lowered from a helicopter, but they shoot it from below the helicopter. I mean, there's different shots, of course, different angles, but most of it's coming from below the helicopter. The Atmos speakers are really engaged here. It really felt like there were helicopter blades going over my head. This entire movie has a ton of Atmos engagement, meaning the overhead speakers. It's one thing to have that going over your head, and you'd notice it, and you'd think it was pretty good. But as the scene plays out, she detaches herself and the helicopter goes to pull away and the blades leave from over your head and pan to the front and to the right of your screen exactly the way the helicopter goes. So, I mean, it's one thing that you're hearing them over your head, but then it really emphasizes how much of it was over your head when the helicopter pans and leaves to the right of the room. It was really, really well done. The sound was very bassy, very much like a very crystal clear, like if it was really a helicopter over your head. I really enjoyed that scene. That's one that I would definitely recommend just showing to show people and show people your theater and you want to show off a scene. This is a great overhead Atmos track. And again, that's at 49 minutes and 30 seconds. And then from there, the movie goes into nighttime and these scenes look really, really good. This is the way I think you should shoot all night scenes because it looks crystal clear. The black levels are so good and the brights look so good. It's not at all like episode 3 of Game of Thrones, season 8. Everything is crystal clear because it looks like they just shot it normally and then reduced it down to give you that nighttime effect, even to the point that it looks so good that when they put on night vision goggles in the movie, you're like, why? I can see everybody perfect. What's the problem? But they're trying to tell you that it is that dark, but they're giving you, the viewer, what it looks like. They want you to be able to see everybody. So it just looked really, really good. Very much like Underworld. Very dark, very monochromatic. And like I said, crystal, crystal clear. And in the nighttime, they go right to the scene of the two teenagers, the base jumpers, and they're in their tent and they have a little heater going and it's warm in their tent and the colors that they're wearing really jump out. And it just, that scene in particular really shows the colors of this movie, how they jump from, you know, outdoor night scene, which is pretty much monochromatic, Underworld-esque. And then they go into this pup tent and the colors in there are so vibrant. I mean, the colors throughout this movie are very, very vibrant. They show, like, when they show the landscape and you see the green of the trees, it is. It's beautiful, beautiful scenery throughout, whether it's just looking at the tops of the mountains and all the snow and the rocky formations and all the different grays. It really, really is a beautiful picture throughout the movie. And obviously the 4K is helping that a lot in the HDR. So my second favorite scene of the movie comes at 1 hour and 5 minutes. And the reason it's my second favorite is because I was actually ducking. This is the scene that I was actually hunched over, pulling my head to my shoulders, ducking down in my theater because of the bats. So they're in their little cave there. When I say they, it's Gabe and Jesse are hiding from Quaylen and his henchmen. Gabe sees that it's bats and he tells Jesse to be quiet. And of course, Jesse can't be quiet and they scare the bats and all the bats take off and they're hunkering down trying to protect themselves from all these bats flying overhead and the noises of all the bats going through the room. And I was actually ducking and I had to laugh because I didn't realize I was doing it as I'm watching the movie. And I'm like, what am I doing? There's no bats in here. It's really a fun scene, and it's set up so well ahead of that, too. The way it's nice and quiet, and Gabe sticks his hand in bat poo, and he's, like, looks up, and you see the bats, and it's kind of quiet, and they're setting the tension. And then all of a sudden, and like I said, I have my head down, so I'm an idiot. But, oh, yeah, back to the picture, too, on that scene. Even before that, any of that stuff inside that cave area, look at the cave walls and the details and the colors that are popping out, which maybe they were there but not as vibrant in the other versions I've seen. This 4K version, the interior of these walls, they looked so good. You could almost like see each vein of color in like the marble or granite or whatever those mountains are made out of, but it looked really, really good. So at about 1 hour and 18 minutes, we get the mountain explosion when Quaylen blows the top of a mountain off to try and kill Gabe. There's a couple of things about this scene that I thought really, really worked and made it such a incredible scene for sound is that the bass. These explosions in this movie, they did such a good job on the bass. It's not just a quick boom and then it's over. These basses, they're rumbling for a long period of time. And then they're putting the echo in of the bass rumbling through the mountains as it goes away. And you can hear it rumbling over the mountaintops. It was just so well done. And then, of course, you have Gabe and Jesse on the side of the mountain. So you have the crumbling all around them as well. It's a fairly quick scene, but for an explosion, it's pretty long, especially in movie making standards. Then at 1 hour and 21 minutes and 30 seconds, you have Gabe trying to run across the footbridge. He hits the tripwire and the one end of it blows up. What was cool about that scene is, one, you have the explosion, and that was really cool, but them walking across the bridge and the creaky noises that you're hearing in this of each footstep. And like I said, you hear the footbridge moving, but you also hear the footsteps on the wood. And it very ambient, very quiet, serene type thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, the mountain, you know, you get the explosion. I mean, they show you the tripwire, so you know an explosion's coming. It's not like a jump scene where you're like, ooh, I didn't know that. But I really like the detail that you heard as they were trying to cross the footbridge in the first place before the explosion. It was really, really nice. And then another quick bass scene at 1 hour, 23 minutes. Quaylen kills Crystal. Literally shoots her in the back, but the gunshot going off at the top of a mountain, same thing. Unbelievable bass on the initial shot, but then the reverberation through the mountaintops, that echo as the bass just reverberates out. It was so well done. Another great use of bass in this movie. And then for the last scene, the final scene, which is the final scene, at 1 hour, 40 minutes, and 20 seconds, I think that basically starts you at where Stallone is running to the edge of the mountain with the ladder on it, and he jumps over. That entire scene, the way they used local sound, localization of each speaker, and the bass, and the score, the clanking of the ladder as the helicopter slams against the side of the mountain, and then the fight, the battle, that entire scene is just a lot of engaging sound all around you. And then, of course, you have the helicopter falling, and Quaylen falling to his death and the big explosion at the end. It's, you know, basically textbook movie ending for a Stallone film. But it was a great way to wrap up this whole movie, and they did a great job in sound all around the room. There's a lot going on the screen. There's a lot going on around your room. It's a very intense scene and a lot of fun. That's the best way to put it. It's just more fun. There's some actually more intense scenes throughout this movie that we've already talked about. But this scene is just a lot of fun of listening to everything that's going on around you. And of course, you have a corny line thrown in there too. All the extras on this disc, I'll go through quickly. I honestly didn't find either of the two commentaries super engaging. They were very informative. I loved all the information that Rennie had to give you, Rennie Harlan, the director. In that commentary, I'll tell you right now, I was very disappointed because it said the first commentary was Rennie Harlan and Sylvester Stallone. I was expecting a conversation about those two making the movie, and it wasn't. It's two different audio tracks that they just spliced together and put into the, you know, while you're watching the movie. So he'll, you know, Rennie will say something, then Stallone will say something, and then Stallone doesn't even talk for a while. There's a lot of information, but it's not super engaging. You're not going to be on the edge of your seat like, ooh, I could really use that. It's basically on how difficult this movie was to shoot. And it was. I mean, you listen to it, and you'll know how difficult it was. And the second one was an editor, a visual effects guy, and a few guys. But again, they weren't talking to each other either. It was all like spliced in different pieces of information. So, and it was kind of repetitive. It's all the same information. All of the technical people were more technical, of course. Like I said, very informative, but not super engaging. I enjoyed, my favorites were the Stallone on the Edge, the making of cliffhanger, and that's only like 20 minutes long, and it was pretty good. It was cheesy. Stallone's on the set of Demolition Man, and he actually says some cheesy lines while talking about his movies, but he knows it. He's making a joke, and a lot of that information in there is gone over in the commentary, and also the introduction by Rennie Harlan. That was like 5 minutes long and gave you a ton of information right there. Even had Stallone in it a little bit. And then the other stuff, like special effects, it just looks at like Sarah's fall and a helicopter explosion, how they did them, which is pretty good, but it's very, like, if you've listened to the commentaries, I found a lot of it to be very repetitive. What I would recommend is skip the commentaries, listen to the introduction, watch the making of, you know, the Stallone on the Edge, and then watch a couple of the special effects things. It's pretty cool. The storyboard comparisons, that's kind of cool. You see how intricate he got with his storyboards. Again, not super engrossing, but this movie is super engrossing. From the beautiful shots of the landscape of the mountains and the, even the lower scenery of the trees, the pine trees and the running water, and then the sound, the engagement of sound throughout this movie. It was so, so much fun. I can't recommend it more. If you've never seen this movie, well, you're probably not listening to me right now anyways. But if you've seen this movie and you haven't seen it in a while and you want to pick up an awesome 4K disc, grab this one. It is really, really good. John was dead on in his email. There's other movies in his email that I'm sure I'm going to get to. There's a couple others I know that I remember from my Laserdisc days that I'm really looking forward to as well. But that's it for this week. That was a busy one. I will be back next Friday. But until then, you could talk to me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you could email me like John did at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Check out all the other podcasts on Nerdy Legion at NerdyLegion.com. That'd be great. But yeah, tweet at me, email me, let me know what you're doing in your theater. Having some great conversations with you guys, Adriano out there, Steve, Brian, John. Thanks for all the feedback. Keep it coming. Having a blast. I will see you next week. Until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.